We'll ask our next guy about his kid because he was probably way too young. Probably wasn't even, may not have been born yet as we get ready to get Nate Taylor on the show presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor, the Athletic, joins us here on Fesco and Dusty. Nate, how's the little man enjoying this Royals run, by the way?
No, I just heard you all. No, it's great. Just a quick backstory. You know, I wasn't living in Kansas City at the time in 2015. We were living in Indianapolis. And, my boy was just a few months old. He was born in early August of 2015. And I'll never forget being in the hospital and the Royals, I believe, winning seven straight games. And, you know, just kind of watching from afar, obviously, because I wasn't in Kansas City at the time. But I remember... we woke him up, you know, essentially the middle of the night. He must be thinking like, what in the world is going on? And, I remember we changed him into a Royals, onesie and
hell yeah.
We woke him up and, you know, you're just celebrating, you know, one of the best things about October baseball is, and this might be even more so than football because of course there are more games, the leverage, in some ways, is even more difficult to deal with because it's not like the next play is a critical third down. It's like, man, every pitch, you sometimes forget how difficult it is to get through a postseason baseball game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was an incredible run. There are things about postseason baseball games that you will never forget, right? Certain sequences, you know, that are somewhat similar to like drives in the NFL, but. Yeah, watching the game yesterday, I had, by the way, I had intense FOMO these last 2 days, ladies and gentlemen, because I saw all my friends, all my colleagues from the station, obviously hanging out at Jefferson's. You know, some of us have to be professional and I guess, you know, write stories for The Athletic and kind of do their job.
You've done that at Jefferson's. There was a lot of people with laptops doing their work
no
there.
No days off, Nate. No days off.
You know, you could have come down, Nate. I mean, you know, Steve was working on his laptop and whatnot. So, you know, you could get out there and get that laptop going. There was nothing going on at Arrowhead yesterday. The week begins today. Like, seems like it's on you, my friend.
I know. But yes, we did watch the game yesterday. And to show my son, you know, sort of the game in its entirety, because thank the Lord, the games were on national television. just to scream and get back to that sort of feeling. I mean, this is quite the run, and how can you not be romantic about baseball and the idea of Bobby Witt Jr.? I just want to tell Aaron Boone real quick, fellas. Aaron, you're a smart man. You're doing a great job. I'm sure people in New York love you.
No.
Please continue to pitch to Bobby Witt Jr. That's all I ask for. Please.
Which is like, you see egregious coaching decisions. Like, I don't know. There was
all
a game. There was a game in February where there may have been an egregious coaching decision of taking the football. Which was worse? Flat brim Shanahan taking the football in overtime in the Super Bowl or pitching to Bobby Witt in the sixth inning yesterday or 2 days ago?
That's such a great question.
Thank
Bob.
You. Thank you.
I still think based on the magnitude of the game, I still have to say, poor Kyle Shanahan. Let's remind people that not only did he take the ball because they didn't quite understand the rule, which is like insane because you know you're literally playing for the championship. Okay, all right. You know what? You didn't understand the rule. Okay, but whatever. You got the ball first. Great. Hey, man. Go score a touchdown. You can't get that close and be like, you know what? We'll kick a field goal. No. Mm-hmm. Stop it. We all know who's on the other side of the field. So, or who's across the sideline from you. So, no, it's still called shit ahead by a wide margin because it's like, well, you know, third down didn't go well. But, like, let me see. If we give up a touchdown after we kick the field goal, we don't get the ball right, guys. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Right? Everybody says that? Right? Yeah. Right?
Right.
Okay. We might want to block Chris Jones, you know, on fourth down, maybe.
Why?
Might make sense.
Though? Yeah.
So yes, that's a great comparison, because yesterday I said, you know what, Brendan Hyde. By the way, I had to Google this man's name.
So did I. Don't feel bad. I had no idea who that guy was.
Is that the guy that looked like Riff Raff?
I'm like, man. Well, if they didn't win with Buck Showalter, good luck to you, good sir. So I had to Google this man's name, and I said, you know what? It's one game. You know, it's just one game in a wild card. Hey, you know, maybe you wanted to test the young kid because this is his first playoff game. But he showed you he's of immense talent. Okay. Sir, there's a base wide open over there.
Right.
Put him there.
And you
put
got a guy there with a busted finger waiting in the on-deck circle, you know?
Well, the thumb's not a finger.
Right. Well, and who, by the way, played heroically yesterday, right?
Yeah.
He was such a morale boost in game one, just because he does give you some legitimacy to the lineup. But obviously, Vinny coming through yesterday was pretty dang important, considering that, you know, you're not necessarily sure what you're going to get out of him. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, man, that guy's really good. That other guy, he's special. Why are you pitching to him? So I know the Yankees were probably watching that game, realizing, hey, you know, there's a reason why the Royals won these two games. Is stop hitting the ball to short and stop pitching to the world's best baseball player, not named Shohei Ohtani.
Right,
that's right.
It's awesome when you win, not only because you perform better, but also because the team clearly knows they're making mistakes in real time. They continue to do it.
Oh, they made mistake after mistake, and it snowballed. And like, the Royals won the series, no question. Q managed circles around Brandon Bean or whatever that guy's name is in the dugout over there for Baltimore.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe his name is Brendan High, and I will only remember him because of his mistakes. Yes.
Right. We are currently joined by Royals beat writer of The Athletic, Nate Taylor. Nate, let's get down to some Chiefs talk here real quick, because they'll finally talk to the media. It seems like it's been forever since we've heard from anybody from the Chiefs. Let's dive into the elephant in the room, Rashee Rice's knee injury. What do you know? What have you heard? Or are we still like what Bob said?
We're going to have to wait. That was this week. Yeah, that feels like it was like 6 months ago.
I guess we'll have to wait until Monday probably, but maybe we'll hear something today, or maybe you know something we don't know.
Yeah, so I just, you know, this is one of the reasons why I had FOMO yesterday, right? I was still kind of chained. Not really chained, but I was, you know, still on the phone, still kind of monitoring things. Here's what I've reported in The Athletic. I think the story just came out this morning because, you know, I'm going through the trade machine, but also trying to figure out, like, what's going on with Rashee Rice. In essence, he's going to see a particular specialist, is my understanding, in Dallas, basically his hometown, and that they hope to find the true severity of his injury either Monday or Tuesday, if necessary. Now, what's fascinating about all this, fellas, is Rashee has already gone through multiple MRI scans. Mm-hmm. They've already gone through a couple of, you know, doctors and second opinions. And hell, give me a fifth. You know, it's just like one of those things where it's like, well, is it a torn ACL? No one's reported that yet. It doesn't seem like that is necessarily the case. Now it's about the severity of the injury, and if he can come back, is it going to be an issue of, hey, man, you could really damage this much worse? And one of the things that you don't want to happen is, hey, after we all saw that replay, after we all saw that his knee move in a direction that is not natural, what you don't want to happen is, hey, you come back, say, 6 weeks later, and then you tear your ACL in a non-contact injury, and now you set yourself back even further from a medical standpoint. So that's going to be, I think, really the issue. And yeah, maybe we should learn something on Monday or Tuesday with him in Dallas, seeing a specialist with the understanding that as of right now, ladies and gentlemen, he has not torn his ACL, but we just don't know like the timeline of when he could return and how high the risk is of, hey man, because this team is going for a three-peat, because you already had, you're in the midst, you know, before the injury of having a fantastic sophomore season, you could really affect seasons 3, 4, 5 if this doesn't go quite well once you come back, because obviously your knee's just not going to have the same strength it had before the injury on Sunday.
Yeah, and also then that turns to, okay, what are the Chiefs going to do at the wide receiver position? Look, with $4 million under the cap, there's not a lot that they really can do at this point in time. Plus, you're not going to make trades with teams at this point in time, because if they start trading off their pieces, they're telling their fan base, we're done, and then nobody's going to buy a ticket, and people forget this is a business first, game second. So what do you see them doing in the near future, and then kind of long-term future, you know, long-term being the rest of the season at wide receiver?
Yeah, so I'll give a couple options, because I think those are the most legitimate based on kind of what you were saying, Bob, about the salary cap and just the way the calendar works out, right? Now, one of the reasons why I think some executives and owners were in favor of the league actually pushing back the trade deadline an additional week, right? It used to be like basically Halloween. It used to be like early October, or excuse me, late October. Now they've pushed it a week. It's technically, I think, after the election.
I thought it was Election Day, if I wasn't mistaken.
Yeah, it's November 5th. I mean, there's so many days and numbers in my head, but like, yeah, it might be Election Day. It's basically election week, so hey guys, do something before it is. Please do something on November 3rd. So with all that being said, it does give teams more time, and it does give teams that additional week to sort of either find what the true market is, which I think was some issues, you know, in previous years, where like when the Chiefs made the trade for Kadarius Toney, just for context purposes, they tried to get in front of the market at the trade deadline. And so I think that move was on like October 25th is when we learned about it, and then it became official on the 27th. So a couple options. You need the New York Giants to lose every game from this day forth until the deadline.
That's not asking a lot. Have you seen Daniel Jones?
Really,
you know, it's not asking a lot.
You need the Carolina Panthers to lose every game.
Not asking a lot.
Until November, right? And the last team that you're probably asking, and again, this is not necessarily to acquire this player, but again, just to get things like really, you know, cooking in the mix is, hey, can the Pittsburgh Steelers start losing? Like, because it's clear to me, and it's clear to everyone in the league, that like, hey guys, you're 3-1, kind of bit of a surprise. This is just another, you know, a compliment really to Mike Tomlin, because I will never doubt this man as a head coach. But the Steelers don't want George Pickens, okay? George Pickens is a headache. He does play more football than Kadarius Toney, but he's still like kind of the same level of prospect when you have to deal with the person just as much as the actual football talent. Now, if the Steelers get into the mix, that could better inform you about who is actually available for the picks that you have. And I think Clark Hunt does not want to give up a first-round pick, obviously. He probably doesn't even want to give up a second-round pick. So your baseline is really starting to add, like, the third-round pick, which, of course, is the pick you received from the Tennessee Titans in the trade for Legarius Sneed. Mm-hmm. So you need the Steelers to start losing so that they can get off of George Pickens, because he'll probably cost more, and he's more of a viable option than, say, Tyreek Hill or obviously Devontae Adams based on their contracts. So that means someone like Darius Slayton, someone like Deontay Johnson for the Carolina Panthers, all of a sudden, hey, third round, fourth round pick kind of seems good. And oh, by the way, those players are, let's say, more professional than George Pickens.
Last one here for you, Nate. Who sees more playing time, or who sees their playing time amped up due to circumstances in this game against the New Orleans Saints, Kareem Hunt or Xavier Worthy?
I think for one game, because the bye week is the following week, I think it's probably more Kareem Hunt, because what gets lost in all of this is when you watch the tape, and even in real time, man, those legs look fresh. They look good. He looks confident. I know some Chiefs fans are like, oh my God, a running back with a burst who finds the hole? What? Right?
And doesn't fumble?
Yeah.
Right. You know, and so it's like, I understand why Chiefs fans are starting to, you know, give themselves a little bit of imagination when it comes to, okay, what if Isaiah Pacheco comes back relatively up to his form, you know, after, you know, taking time to recover from his fractured fibula, and you have Kareem Hunt, right? Like, mm-hmm. that might be the best 1-2 punch that Patrick Mahomes has ever had. So I think for this game, you kind of lean more on Kareem Hunt because, again, he's the more veteran player. He showed the burst, the intensity. He honestly gave them a lift when they absolutely needed one down 10 points against the Chargers. Whereas I think for Xavier Worthy, you kind of want to still slowly build this up. You're going to have to ramp it faster than you want because there is no Hollywood Brown. We don't know how long Rashee Rice will be out or if he'll come back this season. But you at least have the bye week to prepare him for bigger responsibilities, to prepare him to play multiple roles at multiple positions in the offense while also trying to not overwhelm him. I think some fans kind of forget that. Like, these guys are rookies, and it's only their fourth, fifth, sixth game. Like, you don't want to give them too much because you actually want them to slowly progress over the course of the season because you pretty much are certain that you're going to be playing in postseason games. So you want that player to be at his absolute peak at that time, not trying to squeeze, you know, the most you can get out of Xavier Worthy in weeks 8, 9, and 10.
Well, Nate, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the playoff run from the Royals with the little one and the missus as well as you guys gear up for a blue October. And then soon it'll be a red January. So it just kind of all flows into itself. Nate, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Thank you so much.